sing Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. As we've been doing with all of our non-communion evening services this Lent, we will close not with the prayers in Vespers, but we'll close by praying the litany. We'll make sure we're on the right page. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this special opportunity to be in Your house this most holy week, this most holy Tuesday. Heavenly Father, as we strive for human gain, human pride, and human glory, teach us what true glory is. The dead, naked body of Your Son, hanging on Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying for the life of the world. Heavenly Father, as we have been bathed in that blood in the waters of holy baptism, help us in turn to fight the good fight and to make the good confession. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 434.
order of service is Vespers, page 229. We stand.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Continue now with the words of our introit as printed on your service insert. We chant them together.
For the first of our confirmation essays this evening, Addison, why don't you come forward? Addison Cheek. We have 8 confirmads this year. We heard 2 of our essays last night. We'll hear 2 tonight and 2 tomorrow night and pick up the last 2 on a couple of Sundays as we get a little bit closer to confirmation day.
The Bible verse I chose is Matthew. The Bible verse I chose is Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I chose this verse because it shows how important it is to be baptized, and it defines our relationship with God. It reminds me of what I should be doing. It reminds me of what I should be teaching to others around me. It reminds me that no matter what, God always forgives me. It brings me comfort to know that God is always with me. Jesus gave his disciples very specific instructions before he returned to heaven after his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. He wanted them to go out and get more disciples and baptize them. He wanted them to obey his words. These were some of Jesus' last words before returning to heaven. Because they were some of his last words, it tells us how important it was to Jesus for the disciples to do what he commanded. We were given the commandments in the Old Testament. They were specific rules for us to follow, and Jesus reminded his disciples of these rules before returning to heaven. The commandments tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. The commandment that is most important is the first one, to have no other God before him, that we should love and trust in him above all things. In this text, we're also reminded of all of the commandments. We know that what we should do and what we shouldn't do, but still we sin. We sin every day. In fact, we sin constantly in our thoughts, words, and deeds, but by what we do and by what we don't do. We're born into sin through Adam and Eve. Even as a little baby, we are sinful. This is why we are often baptized as babies. The water in the Word washes us clean of sin. It keeps us safe from the devil and from hell. Our faith is what saves us, but sometimes our faith wavers and is weak. Things in our lives make us question if God exists and is really with us. Bad things happen. It could be a poor grade on tests. It could be the death of a loved one. We wonder why God always allows war. Things like this cause us to question why God would let these things happen. It causes us to doubt. In Matthew, Jesus gave convincing proof of his resurrection. This made the disciples' faith win over their doubts. Because of our faith and what he did for us, we are also saved. We get to receive the benefit of heaven, and we get the peace knowing that he is always with us, despite what happens in our daily lives. We get the comfort that he is always watching over us and doing what is best for us. We appreciate what he did for us, making us want to be his disciples. Through confirmation, we profess what we believe. We are now old enough to begin to understand what Christ did for us. We declare that this baptism and faith washes us clean from our sin. That God sent his son, Jesus, to be crucified, died, buried, and to rise again to save us from these sins. When we examine ourselves at communion, it gives us a new birth. It cleans us from the sin and doubt that we had before. It tells us again and again that we are forgiven and saved. God commands the church to make disciples of all nations, so he wants us to spread his word. I am not going to be a pastor or evangelist, but I can still spread God's word in whatever I do. I can show those around me that I am Christian, and that even though I'm a sinner, that I am saved. By doing this, I am following his word. Because I am a believer, the Lord is with me always, even until the very end of the age. There is no day, hour, or minute that Jesus is not with me, protecting me and watching over me. Because of my faith, because of what Jesus did for me, I am saved. Therefore, I will go and tell others of what he did for us. I want those around me to receive the same benefit of eternal life, reassurance and comfort that I have, knowing that he is always with me. Even though at times our faith wavers, I know that I will always be forgiven and Jesus will always be with me. Tragedies will occur. I will fail at things. Those I love will hurt me. Those that are close to me will die. But I know and will have peace that Christians like me will be waiting for me in heaven. So I will tell people what I believe. They will see it in me. I hope that I can make a difference, even in one person's life, that will save them too. I want others to have the same comfort that I have, knowing that God is always with them, taking care of them and giving them his blessings. In conclusion, Jesus told his disciples what he wanted them to do. He wanted more people to believe in him. He wanted them baptized in his name. We continue to sin. Bad things continue to happen, which causes us to question why God may allow things to happen to us, and sometimes even doubt his existence. Jesus gave significant proof of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection to his disciples. This made his disciples' faith stronger so they could teach future generations about him and have comfort knowing that he would always be with them, just like he is with me today and always will be.
Thank you, Addison. Now, like I said, now you can take a breath. Julia, are you ready? Okay, Julia Phillips is our next essayist for tonight. And I believe her essay is from the Gospel of John, is that right? Yeah.
John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can make it to heaven without Jesus. He gives us many chances on earth to make the right decision, but we sin every day making the wrong one. When we die, we face God's judgment, and when we try to go outside of Christ, it doesn't work. Jesus only gives us the truth and life through faith. From reading the Word and receiving the sacrament, we receive truth. He sacrificed himself just to give us eternal life. If we have faith in him, we have life with him. We hear the truth about Jesus putting himself in front of others in the Bible. Jesus is the only way. In John 14, verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus, "How can we know the way?" Jesus answers them by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He continues to come to us through baptism and sacrament of the altar and the Holy Bible. He shows us the truth of all that had happened and will happen as we, as Christians, continue to grow in him. He shows us life everlasting. To whomever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life with him. And when Christians do sin, Jesus calls them back to repentance, to the preaching of his word, and through sacrament. God sent Jesus for a reason. Jesus came down to take away all the sins of everyone, and he gives us the faith to believe in him. He suffered and died just for us. Yes, this verse is very inspiring to me, and maybe some to others, but that is not the only reason why I love it. I have heard of the miracles Jesus can do. I know he is the way towards eternal life. When he says that you know the way, you know him, and he knows you. He has chosen you. I hear Jesus' messages through the word of God and its truth. I have faith in Christ and Christ alone. I cannot have faith for anyone but myself. I've always loved this verse. It has helped me through troubled times, especially if I have doubts about him. I read this verse and remind myself. Even the greatest of times, I go to this verse just to remind myself how lucky I am to have Jesus in my life as my Savior. I received faith in my baptism, knowing that Jesus Christ would take care of me. I am his and he is mine. The toughest part about remembering this verse is that people today don't realize how important Jesus is. We do not get to heaven by good works or how great our life is on earth. It is about how good our faith is towards him. How many times does God forgive us? Unlimited amount of times. It says right in the verse, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Like I said before, we get to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, not by good works, great life, or money. The only way you learn the way to heaven is through Jesus. The only reason we can even go to heaven is because of Jesus dying on the cross, because God loved us so much. In doing this, we get what we don't deserve, heaven. God gave us mercy. Faith in him is a gift, not a choice. People do not realize how important this is to them. Do we not realize how much this means to us? God sacrificed his own son so we could come to Jesus and go to have eternal life. Here is a word of promise for you and never let go. The Holy Spirit guides us in the right path towards Christ so that we make it to heaven and have eternal life. In considering this verse, I have realized God's love for me and Jesus. He leads me in the right way towards God through the Holy Spirit. He tells me his truth, the holy word of God. He gives me life through faith. I know I will enter the kingdom because I have Jesus with me throughout my life. As long as you keep faith in Christ, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Like how Jesus says, we don't choose him, he chooses you.
In our readings for tonight, we will also see that sometimes people make the good confession, and sometimes people fail to make the good confession. What a marvelous opportunity for us to hear the good confession by our junior confirmands. We continue now with our office hymn, number 450, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded.
The Old Testament reading for Tuesday in Holy Week is written in Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A lamb goes on complaining for the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sin of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter mad without complaint, that spotless life to friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us His favor. Go forth, my son, the Father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion the fruit of your salvation. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. O wondrous love, what you have done, the Father offers up His Son, desiring our salvation. Oh, love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who builds the earth's foundation. Lord, when your glory I shall see and taste your kingdom pleasure. Your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you.
The epistle is written in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, 12th chapter. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this Holy Tuesday is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the 6th chapter of Paul's first letter to St. Timothy, dear friends. In Christ. There are many witnesses gathered, the saints of Christ assembled, waiting, preparing, listening, anticipating the good confession. The pastor's voice boomed forth. "Do you renounce the devil?" "Yes, I renounce him." "Do you renounce all his works?" "Yes, I renounce them." "Do you renounce all his ways?" "Yes, I renounce them." "Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?" "Yes, I believe." "Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?" "Yes, I believe." "Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" "Yes, I believe." The good confession, boldly spoken, spoken before the church and the world, spoken to the church and against the world, witnessed by many on behalf of all. One congregation in a moment of time, standing in for the church of all times and all places. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and faith? And to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? I do, by the grace of God. A very different crowd was gathered together. at the point of a riot, crying out for the blood of one man. He stood before the governor, who stood in for the powers of this world, the power of Rome. One powerful man representing an empire that suddenly had a bullseye on Jesus' chest. The governor's voice boomed forth. "Are you the king of the Jews? Do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say this about me? What have you done? My kingdom is not of this world." "So you are a king? You say that I am a king. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." The good confession, boldly spoken before kings and rulers, boldly spoken against kings and rulers, witnessed by one man on behalf of all, the one who represented the powers of this world, Rome reduced to one. "Do you not know that I have authority to release you or authority to crucify you?" "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." He refused to compromise. He refused to say what would deny the truth and save his life. He confessed unto death. He confessed, even though he knew exactly what it would mean. He confessed, even though he had counted the cost. He confessed, as God called on him to confess. He kept the commandment pure and undefiled. He refused to profane it by denying his Father and seeking to escape death. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Before the powers and principalities of this world, with the governor looking for an excuse to set him free, Jesus refused to deny his Father's will and the path that was set before him. Why? Because Jesus knew that it was not Pilate who had life to give, but his Father. "I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Death would be the price of his confession, and he would go forth to willingly pay it. You are surrounded by many witnesses, some violent, some not, some looking for an excuse to set you free, some looking for an excuse to condemn you. You're on the stage. You bear the name Christian. Will you confess or will you deny? This world will not let you be a comfortable Christian. It will attack you. It will try to seize your faith. Your sinful flesh will not go quietly. It will not bow down to God's word without a struggle. No, to be a Christian means to fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You confessed that you would suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith. Or you are about to make those very same promises. Easy words to say, aren't they? When you are standing in a church, surrounded by your fellow believers, all confessing the same thing. Now, you are called upon to fight. Fight the good fight. Struggle against this world. Do not let it pull you back into bondage. Fight the good fight. Struggle against your flesh. Put it to death. Drown it and its desires each and every day. The world promises you death. The death of relationships, the death of influence, the death of popularity, and one day it might, as Pilate did, promise you physical death. Will you confess or will you deny? Will you fight or will you surrender? Will you hold on to the faith or will you let it go, loving the glory that comes from men more than that which comes from God? You know how often you have surrendered. You know how often you have failed to confess. You know how often you have loved that glory that comes from men rather than that which comes from God. Repent. Repent and confess your sins, your failures. Repent and believe. For you have a Savior who made the good confession for you. Jesus refused to compromise. Jesus refused to say what would deny the truth and save his life. He confessed unto death for you. He confessed for all the times that you have failed to confess. He confessed to give his life into death for that sin and for all others. He confessed, even though he knew what it would mean, his death in your place. He confessed, even though he had counted the cost, the very punishment, the wrath of God that your sin deserved. Death would be the price of his confession, and he would willingly pay it because he loves you. He confessed, as the Father called on him to confess, because he loves his Father and he loves you. He refused to leave you in your sin. He refused to deny his Father's will and the path, the bloody path that was set before him. He knew that the Father would give him life and that the Father would give you life through him. And he will. You confess the God who gives life to all things. He gave life to Jesus, and he will give life to you. For just as surely as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day, so you too will be raised at his glorious appearing. For you confess the one who made the good confession on your behalf, even unto death. And he still makes the good confession for you at the right hand of the throne of God. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the canticle, hymn 451. 451.
Thank you.
welcome in the name of Jesus, our suffering servant, who made and continues to make the good confession. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the internet. We pray God's blessings upon Christ's good confession for you. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Our service continues and concludes with the litany. Page 288, please stand. In addition to the prayers that are in our news and notes for the week, we also remember Clee Walski, the friend of Maureen Marshall, retired parochial school teacher, who was recently discovered with a large mass in his brain. And we also remember and pray for the victims in the tragic terrorist attack in Brussels today. We pray for all those who are working very, very hard in the rescue efforts. And we also pray for those survivors who are yet to be found. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church. to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons, especially Klee, and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, grant us, by your grace, so to pass through this holy time of our Lord's Passion, that we may obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Spare us, O Lord, and mercifully forgive our sins. Though by our continual transgressions, we have merited your chastisements, be gracious to us. Grant that all these punishments which we have deserved may not come upon us, but that all things may work to our everlasting good. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, 432, In Silent Pain, The Eternal Son. Welcome in the name of Jesus. I don't know what it is, but the readings, all of the things that surround Tuesday in Holy Week are just one of my most favorite days in the entire church year and church calendar. Making the good confession, the glory of Jesus, and all of it summed up very beautifully in that closing hymn. I need the two confirmads who gave their essays to be out with me shaking hands. Okay, so everybody can get a chance to see you and comment on your good confession that you made tonight. We will gather again tomorrow night, and we are not going to be using the Holy Wednesday readings that we would normally use. Instead, we're moving the High Festival of the Annunciation, which would fall on Good Friday. We wanted to keep those separate, but we still wanted to celebrate it. So tomorrow night we will celebrate the Festival of the Annunciation. That's the announcement where the angel announces to Mary that she will be the mother of God, the mother of Jesus. Great one, and we'll hear two more of our confirmation essays tomorrow as well. No afternoon service tomorrow, no fellowship meal, 6:30 worship. There is midweek and confirmation class as well. On Thursday, we'll gather at 12:15 and 6:30 for Monday-Thursday worship. Both services will be the same. Good Friday, 12:15 Treor service, 7:30, hour later, service of darkness. We want to make sure we end in the dark. Easter Vigil on Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Easter Sunday, no Sunday school, no adult Bible study. Three worship services, 6 a.m. sunrise service. That service will be broadcast live on KFOR AM 1240. And then 8:30 and 10:30 divine service. The 6 a.m. Service will be rebroadcast then on KFOR at 10:30, our regular time. No Lifelight Bible study this week because of our Monday-Thursday worship. Want to thank all those who helped with our cleanup day that got transferred and moved from Saturday because of the cold to this afternoon. Seems like I'm forgetting something. Anything? I don't know what it would be. Yeah. Shirley. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't see her up there anymore. I don't know if she's still here. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Kristen. Special music has just been awesome this Lenten season. Thanks be to God. Have a great day and Holy Week in the Lord Jesus.